Chapter 10 Lisa Lane rubbed her tired eyes and again scanned the periodic table of elements, the same standard chemistry chart posted in most every high school science class across the land. The research biochemist had long ago memorized the table of known elements and could probably recite it backward if given the challenge. Now she gazed at the chart, hoping for inspiration, something that would trigger a new idea. She was searching for a durable catalyst that would separate an oxygen molecule from a carbon molecule. Scanning the periodic table, her eyes stopped at the 45th element, rhodium, symbol RH. Lane's computer modeling kept pointing to a metal compound as a likely catalyst. Rhodium had proved to be the best she had found so far, but it was wholly inefficient, in addition to being a horribly expensive precious metal. Her project at the George Washington University Environmental Research and Technology Lab had been called Blue Sky Research, and maybe it would stay that way. Yet the potential benefits of a breakthrough were too enormous to overlook. There had to be an answer. Staring at the square denoting rhodium, she noticed the preceding element had a similar symbol, RU. Absently twisting a lock of her long brown hair, she said the name aloud, ruthenium. A transitional metal of the platinum family, it was an element that she had not yet been able to test. Bob, she called to a wiry man in a lab coat seated at a nearby computer. Did we ever receive that sample of ruthenium that I requested? Bob Hamilton turned from the computer and rolled his eyes. Ruthenium. The stuff is harder to obtain than a day off. I must have contacted 20 suppliers and none of them stocked it. I was finally referred to a geology lab in Ontario that had a limited amount. It was even more than your rhodium sample, so I only ordered 2 ounces. Let me check the stockroom to see if it came in yet. He walked out of the lab and down a hall to a small storeroom where special materials were kept under lock and key. A graduate assistant behind a caged window retrieved a small box and slid it across the counter. Returning to the lab, Bob set the container on Lisa's desk. You're in luck. The sample arrived yesterday. Lisa opened the box to find several tiny slivers of a lusterless metal housed in a plastic container. She selected one of the samples and placed it onto a glass plate, then examined it under a microscope. The tiny sliver resembled a furry snowball under magnification. Measuring the mass of the sample, she placed it in the sealed compartment of a large gray housing that was attached to a mass spectrometer. No less than 4 computers and several pressurized gas tanks were affixed to the device. Lisa sat down at one of the keyboards and typed in a string of software commands, which initiated a test program. Is that the one that's going to be your ticket to the Nobel Prize? Bob asked. I'd settle for a ticket to a Redskins game if it works. Glancing at a wall clock, she asked, Want to go grab some lunch? I won't be able to get any preliminary results for at least an hour or so. I'm there, Bob replied, slipping off his lab coat and racing her to the door. After a turkey sandwich in the cafeteria, Lisa returned to her tiny office at the back of the lab. A minute later, Bob ducked his head around the door, his eyes opened wide in bewilderment. Lisa, you better come take a look at this, he stammered. Lisa quickly followed him into the lab, her heart skipping a beat as she saw Bob approach the spectrometer. He pointed to one of the computer monitors, which showed a string of numbers rushing down the screen beside a fluctuating bar graph. You forgot to remove the rhodium sample before you initiated the new test. But look at the results. The oxalate count is off the charts, he said quietly. Lisa looked at the monitor and trembled. Inside the spectrometer, a detector system was tabulating the molecular outcome of the forced chemical reaction. The ruthenium catalyst was successfully breaking the carbon dioxide bond, causing the particles to recombine into a 2-carbon compound called oxalate. Unlike her earlier catalysts, the ruthenium-rhodium combination created no material waste byproduct. She had stumbled upon a result that scientists around the world had been seeking. I can hardly believe it, Bob muttered. The catalytic reaction is dead on. Lisa felt lightheaded and dropped into a chair. She checked and rechecked the output, searching for an error but finding none. she finally allowed herself the probability that she had hit pay dirt. "I've got to tell Maxwell," she said. Dr. Horace Maxwell was director of the GWU Environmental Research and Technology Lab. "Maxwell? Are you crazy? He's testifying before Congress in 2 days." "I know. I'm supposed to accompany him to the Hill." "Now there's a suicide mission," Bob said, shaking his head. "If you tell him now, he's liable to bring it up in testimony in order to obtain more funding for the lab." "Would that be such a bad thing?" "It would if the results can't be duplicated. One lab test doesn't solve the mysteries of the universe. Let's rerun things and fully document every step before going to Maxwell. At least wait until after he testifies," Bob urged. "I suppose you're right. We can duplicate the experiment under different scenarios, just to be sure. The only limitation is our supply of ruthenium." "That, I'm sure, will be the least of our problems," Bob said, with a hint of prophecy.